We're starting a brand new series called Breaking Barriers. And this is inspired by the banners that are located at both of our campuses. Everyone in Carlisle, if you will look to your left, my right, there is the banner at the back. Jamie Wynn, she found it first, or at least she acknowledged it first. Redverse, I don't know where it is. I was trying to think where we put it. Of course, we didn't put it in the same spot at both locations. That would have been too easy. So there's only four of them. You should be able to find it easy enough. For everyone who is not in campus and cannot read the banner, here's what the banner says. We agree as a congregation to remove any barriers, hindrances, or walls that may deter people from coming to Christ and his bride, the church. We as a congregation agree to remove any barriers. We are barrier removing people. And this is a very kingdom minded or a very kingdom conscious mindset. We don't want anything to get in the way of people coming to church. We don't want anything to get in the way of people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the reality is that that is just one set of barriers. Each and every one of us encounter barriers throughout our life because there's always going to be a time where we are and where God wants us to be are not the same thing, and we have a spiritual enemy that is going to actively try to prevent us from getting there. And so there's barriers can be something physical, it can be something emotional, it can be something financial, whatever it is throughout the course of our life, we all encounter barriers. And so over the next month, we're going to look at how to identify the barrier, how to overcome the barrier, and then some safeguards, because life is not just overcoming one barrier and we're good, we're done. Life is a constant overcoming each obstacle as it comes our way. And to help us understand this idea of barrier breaking, we're going to be looking at the story of Jericho. Which, that seems to be obvious, but I think there's some things in the story that hopefully we can draw out, and we're like, huh, I didn't see that before, or, that applies in a whole new way that I didn't know. And so we're going to be looking at the people of Israel, where they are, is on the wrong side of the Jordan, looking at where God wants them to be, and there is this barrier between them, and it is called Jericho. And so that's where we're going to be. We are going to be in Numbers 13. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. To get us kicked off, though, here is our opening question. What are the different barriers you have encountered in life? What are the different obstacles that have put themselves in your way? And they don't have to be personal. Everyone online, we invite you to share on the Facebook and the YouTube comments. What are just some general barriers that can get in the way of life, especially when it comes to maybe what God wants to accomplish in our life? And maybe it's just our own personal goals. Maybe we have dreams and ambitions, and there's always that time where we're dreaming and envisioning what God wants us to do and where we are going to be, and there's that moment where the rubber hits the road, we find out all the challenges and all the risks and everything that's involved with stepping into that calling and that dream. And that sets us up really well for the story in Numbers 13. Because the story in Numbers 13 doesn't actually have anything to do with Jericho. But it is a precursor for what Israel is going to experience later on in their story. Numbers 13, they have just left Egypt from the Exodus. They have met with God at the Mount Sinai. They've got their commandments. They've got their statutes. This is how you are going to live as a nation. They have gotten to the Jordan. They can see the promised land. And God has told them so many good things about the promised land. It is flowing with milk and honey. It is going to be good. And if you do all that I have asked of you, you will never lack anything. It is going to be the thing of dreams. And so Israel is standing on the edge, and all they can think about is all the good things that God has promised them about this land. And God talks to Moses, and he says, before you go in, I want you to send in some spies. I want you to send one man from each tribe to spy out the land. And after he's picked his 12 spies, Moses says this to them. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Okay, so this is the rubber hits the road of the dream. Go in there and see what we're up against. Is it really flowing with milk and honey the way God described it? Is the fruit any good? Are there any trees there? And most importantly, what are the people like? Are there a few people? Do we outnumber them? Or is there a lot? Are we like up against a big fight? Are they weak? Or are they well established? Are they strong? Are we going to be up for a big challenge? And are they in camps like we are? Or are they going to be in fortified cities, walled cities, and they are prepared for any kind of an attack that we may engage them? That's what Moses wants. He gives them the laundry list. Here's what I want you to find out. And this is where every one of us, when we feel the calling of God and we feel like we need to move, we get the big idea, like, oh, this is going to be so good. I'm so excited. This is everything I want it to be. And then we do the research, right? Maybe it's not even something that God has called us to. We're taking on a new business venture. We're taking on a new job opportunity. Whatever it may be, we dream it, we think about it, and it's going to be so good. And then we sit down, we do the research to see just what exactly is it going to take to pull this off. We do a little bit of fact-checking. And so the spies are in there doing the fact-checking. And they're gone for 40 days, spying out the land, checking off the things on the laundry list, making sure they know that they've come back with the report that Moses is wanting. And this is what we find. In Numbers 13, starting at verse 25, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. Now, just before this, we learned that they grabbed some fruit. And because the grapes were ripe in their season, they grabbed a cluster. But we're not talking about, you know, the co-op bag that we pay way too much for. This cluster is so large. Now, we don't know if it's large because of the number of grapes or because of the size of the grapes. But for some reason, this requires two men to carry it. That's a lot of grape. Like, it doesn't matter if the grapes are huge or if there's just a lot of them. That's a big cluster of grapes. So these guys come walking in, and just imagine the excitement in the nation, in the camp. Here come the spies, and they're like, they got the thing of grapes, and the nation would be like, oh, that is in the land that we're going into? All right, woo-hoo, yay, this is going to be good. They're just feel there's some excitement. And then the spies give the report. They came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them, we came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Okay, it is everything God has told us it is. It is so good. Look at the fruit. Woohoo, we're excited. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Okay, are they strong or are they weak? They're strong. The cities are fortified. Okay, they're not in camps. They are in walled cities. They are ready for us. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So the descendants of Anak had a reputation of being giants. We read in David that Goliath was a son of Anak, and Goliath was 9 feet tall. Okay, so this is not weak people. These are very strong people, and they're very big people. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. So they've gone through and they see where the different groups, where the different tribes of the people are, and said, this is where everybody is, just so we kind of have a roadmap of where we're going, who we're coming up against where. This was not what they were hoping. I'm pretty sure They were hoping for the report that they are weak and they're few, and Israel's just going to cross the Jordan and just be like, hello, hi, we're the people of God. This is the promised land. You have to leave. Okay, bye. Like, that's what I'm pretty sure they were hoping was going to happen. Knock on the door, and they're just like, oh, okay, we're gone. That's not going to happen. They are in fortified cities. They are 9 feet tall. They are monsters. They are strong. And they are ready for anything that Israel is going to throw at it. And you just kind of feel that the air let out of the camp. This huge high of, oh, the land is everything we were hoping it was going to be to, oh, we have a big problem. We have a massive barrier in our way. And the barrier is the people, the strength of the people, the establishment of the people. If they got walled cities, they have been there for a very long time. They've got kings, they've got armies, they've got... And what does Israel have? Israel is literally just a group of people who've been... They're a bunch of nomads. They don't have a whole lot when it comes to armor. They sure don't have anything that can take down a walled city. They don't have siege works. They've never done anything that involves siege work. They're not ready for this. And this barrier just seems so overwhelmingly huge. But the spies aren't saying that. The spies have just done what Moses asked. These are the facts. The people are strong, they're established, and the land is good. But it looks big. And I think this is the part where whether it is a dream or an ambition or something that we feel God has called us to or something that we just want to accomplish on our own, this is where the rubber hits the road and it's decision time. Is this barrier, is this obstacle going to be too big for me? Is this obstacle going to be too much to handle? Are we going to have to make a course correction? Question two, have you ever wanted something only to discover the barrier seemed to be too big? An emphasis on the word seemed. Because part of the discovery of, and the message this morning is called identifying barriers. Because one of the things we have to establish first and foremost when we come up against an obstacle is who put the obstacle there. Is the obstacle put there by God? Because this is actually something that he doesn't want us to go into. It isn't, it's something that he actually wants us to course correct and get back in line with what he is calling us to. Or is this an obstacle that's been put there by our enemy preventing us from the good things that God has called us to? That's the first step. Because if we get that wrong, this is going to go sideways for us really fast. So when we come up against something that just seems overwhelming and huge, is it overwhelming and huge because God is trying to say, pump the brakes, we're going in a direction that you don't need to go? Or is it overwhelming and huge because God wants us to trust in him to overcome what seems impossible because God is the God who makes the impossible possible? What is the nature of the barrier? Who put it there? Why is it there, and why does it seem so big? And so the people are now have taken, we'll go back to Israel, people have taken the report, and now they have to do their evaluation. And this is what the spies do, okay? So they've given the report, and now the commentary comes. Their personal perspective, their personal feelings of what the report means. Caleb jumps in, he says, he quieted the people. He says, let's go! Doesn't matter whether how big the people are. Let's go. At once. Right now. Let's. And occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb sees the size of the people. He says, my God is way bigger. If this is what we're called to, it doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how big their walls are. Let's go. Look at the fruit. Keep your eye on the prize, people. Let's just go for it. But there's 12 spies that went. We find out that Joshua is saying the same thing Caleb was, but that's not till the next chapter. The other 10 guys, this is what they do. Men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land they spied out. And they said, the land which through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw were of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. These people are huge. We feel like grasshoppers next to them. Now, I don't know about you, but if a 9-foot guy came in here, I would feel like a grasshopper. And some of you are, anyways, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6 feet tall, and a 9-foot guy makes me feel small. And I'm rare. Like that's big dude. I can understand the whole, we feel like grasshoppers next to these guys. But the spies, they go around Moses, right? They've given the report to Moses, and now they're going to go to the people because they don't want to go. They're scared by the size of the people. They're scared by the size of the city. So they go to the people, and they stir them up, and they're like, the people are huge. We look like grasshoppers. They're just going to step on us. And even if we did overcome the people, the land is dangerous. The land is going to devour us. We're going to all die if we go in. In fact, the people of Israel in chapter 14 go so far to say that if we do this, all the men are going to die, and our wives and our children are going to become slaves. That's where Israel draws its conclusion, that if we do this, we are going to be destroyed. Why did God ever bring us here? The people make the decision that the barrier is too big. They want a course correction. And unfortunately, God hears them in this. God hears their complaining. God hears their questioning of him, their doubt of him. They see what is before them, and they forget how big the God is that just delivered them from the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Forgotten all that, and they want to go back. And what happens? There's a barrier that is not put there by God. It's put there by their fears. It's put there by their insecurities. It is put there by their own human limitations. They are not stepping into what God has called them to, and they go off and they begin to wander for 40 years. And the problem is that this happens so often to so many people. We get to the brink of where God wants us to be. We know what it is. We hit an obstacle that is just seems too big. And instead of trusting God to overcome the obstacle, and instead of trusting God that this is something that he wants to prove his power and his might and his love and his grace and his mercy in our lives, we course correct and we do the 40-year wander. And we wander around in life wondering if we missed the boat. We wonder if we just... What if we had just trusted God? What if we had stepped into this opportunity? What if we had just done what God had called us to do? What if? And we may not do it for 40 years. We may do it for days or months or maybe years. But we allow whatever the barrier is to prevent us from being where God wants us to be. And we, just like Israel, we get lost. And we can't help but wonder, what if? What if we had just gone for it? What if we had just tried? What if we had just not let the finances get in the way? What if we had just not let people's perspective get in the way? What if we had just not let fill in the blank? Because we all have this story. We all have that what if opportunity. What if I'd only, if only I had done this? And the question is that the question and the challenge is that if that barrier gets in our way once, if our spiritual enemy figures out that this barrier, whatever it was able to distract us from God's calling once, it's going to come again. It's going to come again. And that obstacle is always going to come around moving obstacles. That is way more difficult. It keeps getting in the way. It keeps discouraging us. It keeps us from where God wants us to be. Eventually, we're going to have to come to the point where we put our foot down. We're like, okay, God, this keeps coming up. This keeps getting in the way. I know where you want us to be, where you want me to be. So give me the faith. Give me the strength. God, I trust you to overcome this. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how intimidating it may be. God, I trust you to get me through this. And until we overcome that obstacle, we'll never get on to the next one. Because it's not, like I said, life is not a matter of overcome one obstacle, we're good. Woohoo! We won at life. We've arrived. You never arrive. There's always a next step in the journey. There's always something else to conquer. There's always another obstacle to overcome. And some of them are easier than others. Some of them don't even feel like obstacles. But some of them are really big. And some of them we need God to help us overcome. Some of them we need others to help us overcome. But the big thing is are we... First, we need to identify what the obstacle is. Is this a God-put obstacle to help us avoid something that we need to stay away from? Or is this something that the enemy has put in front of us? And there's a good chance that if it keeps coming back, and if there's something that we really believe we need to pursue and go for, it's probably something the enemy's putting in front of us to keep us from something that God wants us to accomplish. And the key is that as we become more better at more better, good English, caveman. As we learn how to identify the barriers in our own life and we learn to overcome them, whatever the method is, however God shows up and helps us overcome the barriers in our own life, we become better able to overcome the barriers in others' lives. Because that's what the banner on the wall is talking about. It's not talking about just overcoming our own barriers. We're here. We're not deterred from coming to church. We're not deterred from coming to Christ because we showed up. But what are the barriers that are keeping our neighbor from coming to church? What are the barriers that are keeping our kids from living the life that God has called them to? What are the barriers? And am I the barrier? That's a fun question to ask. It's an honest question. It's one that we have to ask probably daily. How are my actions? How are my words? Am I creating a wall that is keeping people from coming to church and coming to Christ? Am I creating a wall that's preventing someone from living their God-given dream? Am I a barrier? We are barrier-breaking people. God has called us to that. We have to start by breaking our own barriers, and as we identify the barriers in our life and break them down to become all that God has called us to be, we will be better able to break the barriers in everyone else's life so that they can step into the life that God has called them to be. Because there's nothing worse than spending years and months and days of our life wandering around in our own personal desert, wondering, what if I had just trusted God in this scenario? If only I had taken that step of faith. If only I had done what I knew God was calling me to do. If only. We are barrier breakers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you are a barrier-breaking God, that there's nothing too big for you, that you're so powerful, you're so loving and so merciful. God, I pray that whatever the barriers are in our life, and whatever you have called us to, and whatever is standing between where we are and where you want us to be, God, I pray that we just trust you to know what the barrier is and how to overcome it. How are we going to break through? How are we going to get to the other side? Father, I pray for anyone in here that is living with that if only regret. God, I pray that you would fill them with the assurance that it's not too late. That you don't have to live in the regret because there's more opportunities. That God has not given up on us. God has not abandoned us, but he is going to create more opportunities, more life to be lived, more chances to break more barriers. And Father, help us to be aware of the barriers that are erected in other people's lives, that whether it is preventing them from coming to church or preventing them from becoming all that you have called them to be, God, I just pray that we will be barrier-breaking people. Give us the confidence, give us the faith to do what you've called us to be. We love you. We give you all our praise and thanks. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.